morning. I don't know how old I was, but I remember coming here one Sunday morning. I was just a kid, and Bill Meade was our pulpit minister at the time, and it came time for the preaching service, and Bill didn't get into the pulpit. Tom Kelly did, and I remember Tom's opening remark. I'll never forget it. He said, "You're probably as surprised to see me here as I am to be here." And I was pretty surprised, but Tom did a really good job that Sunday morning. And I don't know, it's just one of those things. I was thinking about it yesterday, and after talking with Steve and remembering Tom preaching that Sunday. I don't remember what his lesson was, but I remember him preaching that Sunday, and I remember his opening remark. If you would, I'd like for you to turn to the book of John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 9. I got some pretty nice pictures here from Levi this morning. You can't see him from there, but the important thing to me, I looked at him, and all of them that he drew of me, I'm smiling, so I kind of like that. Kind of like that. I was smiling in all of those. This is one of those chapters. This is one of those chapters in the Scripture. It's kind of one of my. It's kind of one of my favorites. Maybe I get way more out of it than is there. But it's one that means a lot to me. Every time I read it, it is the. The account of the man born blind. And I think that we need to think about the significance of being born blind. This man never ever had the ability to see. It wasn't due to an accident or some kind of disease that he couldn't see. It's that he had been born that way. He'd never had the ability to see. There was evidently something missing, some kind of problem, right from the very beginning, and he was unable to see. And that's going to be very significant as the reading progresses here. So we're going to see a physical blindness. And then we're going to also see a spiritual blindness. And the spiritual blindness is what I would really like for us to consider this morning. And as we look at the story, I would like for you to notice how this man progresses in his belief in Christ. To me, there's four significant steps of progression as this man eventually calls Jesus Lord. You might see more points than that. I just see like four definite points as this story unfolds, as this man goes along. We're going to see spiritual blindness and some of its causes, and we'll try to note those as we go along. And then there's just a few things I'd like for us to consider from this reading, or make a practical application to our life. I'd like to encourage you to follow along. I'm reading from the New Century Version, and so hopefully I think most of those books in the pews are a New Century Version. I mean a NIV, I'm sorry. I'm reading from an NIV, and I think most of the books in the pew are NIV. So just beginning in verse 1, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes open, they demanded. He replied, the man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man, they asked him. I don't know, he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son, they asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me, so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. The man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will turn out to be blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what, are we blind too? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. As Jesus and his disciples came along and happened upon this man that was blind, they asked him the question, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And when we look at verse 34, the Pharisees make the statement to the man, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" So we can see this this common belief that for whatever reason, they believe that this man who was born blind, that sin was connected to it. And Jesus' disciples even asked, they said, was it him or was it his parents? And if you just stop and think about that question for a minute, there's part of it that really doesn't even make sense. And the part of it that doesn't even make sense is if they ask, was it him? He wasn't even born yet. He was born blind. There really wasn't anything that he could have done personally to have caused the blindness. But I just want us to recognize, to kind of catalog this common belief among the Jews, that there must have been some kind of sin that this man was born blind. But Jesus said that neither one had sinned. He said that this has happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. And he makes this statement. He said, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. We must do the work of him who sent me as long as it is day, because he said the night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And having said this, he spit on the ground and he made some mud. It's pretty simple, wasn't it? Just spit on the ground into the dust. And it says that he made some mud out of that, whether he used his finger and swirled that around in the dust or exactly how he did it. And then he reached his finger down there and he took the mud and he put it on the man's eyes. And he said, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. And I like to embellish this a little bit here, because it's not all recorded. But can you imagine, have you ever washed your face in a pool of water? In a stream or in a basin or in a sink? Has anybody here ever done that? It's different than using a washcloth, because you splash the water up and you've got a lot of water on your face. And what happens if you think back, you're bent over that basin or that pool or that stream, and while the water's dripping off and your face is clearing, what is it that you see? I mean, this guy saw his face for the first time in his life. He saw his face for the first time in his life. He'd never seen it before. Had no idea what he looked like. I don't know how he even could comprehend it. He saw the water. He saw the ripples. He saw everything going on that we would just take for granted. He saw all of this stuff for the first time in his life. And the scripture just says that he came home seeing. I can see him running home. All kinds of excitement. I can see him running to his parents, running to his aunts, his uncles, his cousins, whoever he knew. I can see. For the first time in my life, he probably wanted to see all of those people. For the first time in his life, he could see. I don't think he just walked home and said, "Hey, I can see." I think he ran home. I think he was excited. I think he was probably beside himself. And look what happens. The people that know him, his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging. You ever see a beggar? We used to see a lot of people on the streets downtown. And they'd be in the same place and they'd be there all day, every day. And you got to kind of know those faces, not maybe that you knew the name, but here were people that recognized him as a beggar. And they asked this question. They said, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some of them claimed he was. Others said, "No, he just looks like him." But he insisted, "I am the man." And they asked him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man they call Jesus." And this is where he starts. This is where he starts with Jesus. He said, "It's just a man they call Jesus. This man they call Jesus. He made some mud and he put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. I mean, he probably heard some things about Jesus. He knew his name, but he just called him a man. He said, "This man that they call Jesus, he made some mud, and he put it on my eyes, and he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went. I washed, and then I could see." And they asked him, they said, well, where is this man? And he said, "I don't know." You know what happened? There was no surgery. There was no medical intervention. There was no medication. Nothing spectacular happened. Jesus spit in the dirt, made some mud, wiped it on his eyes. He went to the pool of Siloam. He washed it off, and he could see. It was a miracle. It was miraculous. The gravity of what happened here. And look at the disbelief of the people. Some of the people said, "Well, that's him. That's the guy that used to sit and beg. That's the guy that lives next door down the street." But some of them said, "No, it's just somebody that looks like him." But he said, "Well, it is me. I am the man. You're right, it's me." And then they said, "Well, how were your eyes opened?" "The man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go." What kind of faith was that? What kind of faith was that? "He told me to go, and I went." And I just like for us to consider this morning, if we have that kind of faith, if we have that kind of willingness, that when Jesus says to just go, we just go. We just do it. You know, I mean, he could have had all kinds of questions. He could have said, "Well, you know, I heard you spit on the ground." You know, they say about people that are blind, all the other senses become heightened, especially hearing. You know, he could have said, "What? I heard you spit on the ground. Is that what you put on my face? What'd you put that on my face for? What do you want me to go wash for? I want this off. I want this off of me. I don't like it." It just says that he just went. You know, sometimes we just get so involved in questioning everything and looking at it and flipping it over and turning it inside out and reasoning, and why don't we just go? What if we just tried that? What if we just went one time? What if we just did what Jesus told us to do? How would that turn out? We can see how it turns out. It's plain, it's evident how it turned out. So look, all this conversation and all this talk is going on amongst the people, and it's evident. This is him. He was blind, now he can see. And this man called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes, told me to go and wash, and I did. And what do the people have to do? They can't accept it. What do they have to do? They got to take him to the Pharisees. They've got to take him to the Pharisees. We've got to get this figured out. This has to make sense. This is not rational. We got to get this all figured out. So they take him to the Pharisees. And it says, the day which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Look what the Pharisees say. Look at verse 16. This man is not from God. This man is not from God. And their reasoning? Because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. Think about what Jesus did. He spit. He just spit on the ground. And he must have bent over in some fashion, bent over or stooped down and rubbed his finger around in it and wiped it on his eyes. And they said, because of that, this man, he's not from God. He doesn't keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner do such miracles and signs? How can a sinner, if he's a sinner, if he's not from God, how could he do such a miraculous thing? How could he do such a sign? And so it says that they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What do you have to say about him? It was your eyes he opened, and listen to his reply. Because now he's going to change from Jesus being a man to Jesus being a prophet. He said he's a prophet. He's not just a man anymore in this man's mind. He is a prophet. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? They're asked three questions. Is this your son? Was he born blind? And how can he see now? They said, we know he's our son. We know he was born blind. But how he can see, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. Because he's of age, he'll answer for himself. Just ask him. You see what happened right there? They don't believe, and there's a reason why they don't believe. And what is it? Because the Jews had already said that if anyone confessed or believed in Jesus, what would happen? They'd be put out of the synagogue. They'd be put out of the synagogue. You know, as a parent, it's hard to imagine, isn't it? Your child born blind, can't see at all, and now all of a sudden he comes home seeing. They say, he's our son. We know he was born blind, but how he can see or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. I guess that would have been a fearful thing in that day and age, is to be put out of the synagogue. A lot of times we are spiritually blind because we're afraid of being ostracized. We're spiritually blind because we're afraid of being ostracized. I don't want to be pushed out to the outside. I don't want people to think I'm strange or that I'm weird or that I don't believe what has always been believed for generation after generation after generation. And you know, their answer was really pretty safe, wasn't it? They answered the first two things exactly right. And they really had an out on the third. They said, well, he's of age. He'll answer for himself. Ask him about that, because we don't know. But the fact is, they did know, because he'd already told them. As soon as he washed his face, he went home seeing. And I cannot believe that he did not tell his parents. He told his neighbors and everyone else that was around him. A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. And they make this little statement. They say, give God the glory. We know this man is a sinner. We know this man is a sinner. Over in Joshua chapter 7 and verse 19, you find this same statement. Give glory to God. I snuck in there with my new King James Version. Give glory to God, it says here. The King James Version says, give the glory to God. When Achan had stolen some spoils from the battle and took it home and put it in his tent, remember he dug down, he buried it in there, and they lost the next battle. And Joshua brought Achan out and he said, give God the glory, or give the glory to God. It means to be truthful. It's a call for truth. And he replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. And they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I have told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. And look what the man says. He says, isn't that remarkable? He said, isn't that remarkable that you don't know where he comes from and yet he has opened my eyes? He says, I can't believe it. You don't know where he comes from, but yet he has opened up my eyes. He says, we know that God doesn't hear sinners. Look what they just told him. They said, this man's a sinner. He's a sinner. And he says, we know that God does not listen to sinners. He said, it's remarkable. You don't know where he's from, and you're calling him a sinner, but we know that God does not hear sinners. He doesn't listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. He said, it's never been heard of. It's never been heard of that someone opened up the eyes of someone that was born blind. If this man, and look, here's the third time that I have marked in my mind as this man progresses. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. He calls him a man, then he calls him a prophet, and now he says he's from God, because if he wasn't from God, he couldn't do anything. He looked at the religious leaders and he says, you know, that's remarkable. That's remarkable. Look what he's done. He's done something that has never been done before. You call him a sinner. You don't even know where he's from. He said, think about it. God doesn't hear sinners. He doesn't listen to them. He listens to godly men who are doing his will. If he were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Don't you like that? Every time that something gets to the point that it gets to in verse 34, this is always what happens. I reject it. I reject it. I reject it. I don't care what you tell me. I don't care how much proof there is. I don't care how you show it to me. Just get out. I don't want to hear you anymore. Get out. Usually, what's that saying? Usually what that's saying is the only way I can continue in what I believe is for you to get out. It's starting to make sense. It all adds up. I just don't want to believe it. That's what they did with the Lord. That's why they crucified Jesus. It all made sense. It was all starting to add up. The prophecies are being fulfilled. I don't know what we need to do. We got to get rid of him. We got to get rid of him because there's more and more people that are believing in him. Jesus heard they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And his conversion was complete. The Pharisees and the Jewish leaders had taught him well over this period of 1 or 2 days. They'd taught him well. He taught himself. And when Jesus presented himself as the Son of Man, he made the simple statement, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will turn out to be blind." That is such a significant statement. And if you don't get anything else out of this chapter, try to get that verse. If you don't get anything else out of this chapter, try to get that verse. "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will turn out to be blind." If you were blind and you knew you were blind, what would you want more than anything else? You'd want to see, wouldn't you? I would. I've often thought about what it would be like to be blind. And I've closed my eyes sometime. I do these crazy experiments, you know, and I think, can I walk through the house? I've been walking through this house for years. Could I walk through the house? That's pretty difficult. I know you adapt, but then I think, you know, I tell myself, I know I would adapt because people do. But then I think I would lose my mind because I would be thinking that I'll never be able to see again. I'll never be able to see again. They interviewed Ronnie Millsap. Maybe some of you don't know who Ronnie Millsap is. Some of you do. But he was born blind. And they asked him one time, they said, "Do you feel cheated that you can't see?" And he said, "No, I don't feel cheated because I never knew what it was like. I don't feel cheated at all. I'd feel cheated." Look what Jesus said. "I have come into this world so that the blind will see." And he's talking about spiritual blindness, not physical blindness. Spiritual blindness. "I've come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who see will turn out to be blind." Look, the Pharisees and the Jews, they believed that they saw, didn't they? This man's not from God. This man is a sinner. And on they went. And some of the Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now you claim that you can see. Your guilt remains." Just some things to consider. Do we just do, and I include myself in this, do we just simply do what the Lord says all the time, like this man? Or do we find ourselves thinking that we already know what the answer is? And we kind of dig in our heels, and we kind of sit back and we brace up. Because we already know. And it's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing when you already know. Are we afraid of what men will think? We're more worried about what people think than we are what God thinks. You know, it's crazy. We get into these little cliques. It can be within a family. It can be within a community. We just make up these little cliques, and they're more made up in our mind than they are anything. And then it's like this certain, I don't even know what the word. We got to stay within that somehow. We know when we're going to breach it, and we just don't. We know when we're going to step outside of that, and we just don't. Even though what we feel like we should step outside for, we can touch it, taste it, feel it, and know it's the right thing to do and still not do it, because we're going to break free or break outside of that clique or that group of people. Are we blind spiritually for all these reasons that we just looked at? I want to read real quick and we'll be done. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And he says, many are going to say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord." He says, there are going to be a lot of people on that day. And they're going to cry out, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Didn't we do many wonderful works in your name?" And I will tell them plainly, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Here's people who thought, they will be people who thought, "I'm going to heaven. I'm getting in. I'm doing the right things. I'm prophesying. I'm teaching. I've cast out demons. I've done all kinds of works. I've done all kinds of stuff." And Jesus says that he will tell those people plainly, "I never knew you. Get away from me." Now there's some spiritual blindness when you believe that you're doing God's will, but you're so far away from it that when the time comes, Jesus says, "I don't even know who you are. I never knew you. Not only do I not know you now, I never knew you." That's a scary reading to me. And I kind of share this. This is pretty personal, but I've shared it with people before, and I'll share it with you again. There's been about three times in my life. I was in the fourth grade, I think, the first time this happened. And I remember talking to a classmate about a plain verse in the Bible. That plain verse in the Bible says, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be condemned." And that's what we were talking about. I was in the fourth grade. And it must have been a Friday, because come Monday morning, this person and I engaged in the discussion again, and this person said to me, "Well, my preacher says that doesn't mean what it says." And I was overwhelmed. I thought, "What do you mean? Your preacher says that doesn't mean what it says." I thought, what does this have to do with your preacher? It's plain. It doesn't need any explanation. It doesn't need any interpretation. And I was so frustrated, I just kept going through. But the worst part of it was, it finally dawned on me at that point in my life, I am just like that person. Because I only believe what I believe because I believed it all my life. Because I was taught it right here. I only believe what I believe because I believed it all my life. And that was the first time I really began to study. And then somewhere in my 20s, it like boom, it hit me again. I don't know why. I don't even know why. Just that same scenario. Only then I kind of dumped some of it. I didn't dump it all out. I dumped some of it out. I got to get rid of some of this. And I started putting things back in. Really started to study. And then about the time I turned 30, it was horrible. It was awful. I told somebody, I said, man, I am on the anvil. I am being hammered out into powder. I don't know what's going on. I poured it all out then, every bit of it. I just picked up the bucket and I just dumped it. Because I thought, you know, I need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the right reason. I need to make sure that I'm seeing. I need to make sure that I'm seeing. Now, I didn't mean any ill will toward anyone that had ever taught me, raised me, or anything like that. I didn't mean that at all. And I began to put things back in. I'm just saying, I don't want to be, and I don't want you to be, that person on that day that cries out, Lord, Lord, and He looks at us and says, I don't know you. Not only do I not know you now, I never knew you. And that just, and the cause of that is spiritual blindness. It is spiritual blindness, blinded to the will of God. And it's rampant. It's just rampant. We'll see it tonight. We put 300 on the board on Sunday morning, and we're happy if we get 110 back on Sunday night. It's rampant. You know, and what most people say is, well, there's nothing in that Bible that tells me that I have to be here on Sunday or Wednesday night. Only you're wrong, because it does. It does. There's nothing that tells you you have to be in heaven either. Nothing tells you you have to be in heaven either. The lesson is yours, and if you're here this morning and you're not yet a child of God, you've never confessed Jesus before men, we're asking you to do that right now. It's a pretty simple thing, really, to come down and confess Christ before men. And that signifies a turning. I'm turning away, which is repentance. And to be immersed back here, we use this water right back here. We could use water anywhere. We've used Wayne's pool. We used to use the little Scioto River. It really doesn't matter. There's nothing significant about this except we heat it. And the water down there in the river right now is probably pretty cold, and it's pretty dirty. Just to be immersed in water, baptized, covered up. That's what Steve would have talked about if he was here this morning, but he wasn't. And you raise up a new creature, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you want to do that, we're asking you to do it. We'll assist you while we stand and sing.